Hello, hello. It's around 3 p.m. on a Thursday, and this is the time. Your 20s is such a thrilling time. Seriously, I have throes of being super confident in the woman I am becoming, having moments where I literally think to myself, holy fuck, this is what big girl shit is. And then there are times where you are like, I am still very much a child. I'm guilty of delegating phone calls to Blake, still my husband, because I get nervous when I have to talk to strangers sometimes. And apparently you're not supposed to be saying bye-bye anymore when you leave the conversation. And that's been ingrained in me from the 90s. Now, whenever it slips out of my mouth, I feel like I'm melting into my office chair. I get it. Okay, it does sound really weird. It's just a really hard habit for me to break. This isn't another deep dive into habits, by the way, but rather the thing that complements it. And it's just as important as breaking and building or maintaining your habits. I'm Victoria. Some call me Red, most call me V, and I'm your time alchemist. I'm so glad you're here to join me today. I really want to talk to you about creating boundaries as someone who is a business owner, an entrepreneur, or an inspiring wildling in the professional atmosphere. I'm going to be a little bit realistic for you. There are 8 billion people here sharing the same planet as you, but we won't ever have the exact same expectations of what is and isn't acceptable as another person. That's not being negative, that's just being factual. Of course, we find our people who align with us for the most part, but you are you, and that's why you're so unique. There's no one else out here like you, so it's up to you to tell the world how they should and shouldn't treat you. I think that's a good thing. This isn't to be confused with ignorance of others' feelings, by the way, because if you don't know how to treat one another, this is a love all serve all mindset here, okay? All right. Everyone belongs. It's just your responsibility to tell people how you want to belong. Now, doing this in a work setting can feel really awkward, especially if you're working in a more conventional 9-to-5 setting, aka a traditional organization structure. If there's been a work order in your department for months that has been making your everyday work life hell, and you go into your manager's office and tell them that they need to start prioritizing the resolution of this work order or you'll have to resign, I'm gonna guess that the big corporation will give you some big high fives and good vibes and send you on your merry way. But if you're a small owned business, freelancer, entrepreneur, contractor, you really need to understand how to communicate your boundaries, expectations, and standards so that you don't experience what I believe a lot of us dread, the scope creep. So what is scope creep? Why the fuck are we talking about it? And why should you know about it? This is my big analogy. And hear me, especially if you're one of my sisters listening and is like, this has nothing to do with me, lol, please stay. Because you'd be surprised how often things we learn academically can be applied in everyday life, contrary to us learning pre-calc in high school. It's like that painting you have been putting off to finish. Because every time you look at the thing, you want to either take away, add, refine some kind of sort of detail. And now, with all of these changes you have, you need to buy the new supplies, like, you gotta achieve the vision somehow, and art supplies cost a ton of money, so that'll be an extra couple paychecks out. But then, you have a friend's birthday that you want to attend, and you need to buy a gift, so you'll just have to spend money on those new brushes and paint after that. And bam, it's the middle of May, and that painting is still in the corner of your house, whatever, office, and it looks at you with shame and guilt. That's scope creep, brother. And that happens to all of us, professionally and personally. I use the painting thing as like a hobby, analogy, but I know that we also have people who paint professionally. So like, professionally and personally, it affects you. Now, if it's because you just have lost interest in the project itself, that's one thing. But if you have stock in what you're working on, then there needs to be boundaries set so that you see progress and give yourself more time to do more of all the things that you love. How do I prevent this from going on? I'm not perfect. Again, we all go through this, and sometimes you deal with scope creep because shit just happens. You get sick, your client's on vacation, a different project takes precedence, vendors don't know how to communicate. There is so much we cannot control in our lives, but here's what we can control: how we communicate and how we react to the chaos around us. And you need to create the what, the how, and the limits to do that. Your what, insert Lil Jon,
what?
Is how you will let others know what will be included in your project. And just so we're on the same page, a project is anything that has a beginning and an ending that's intention is to create something. Whether that's like a product, experience, you name it, it's a project, baby. And we need to let people know, even if it's you, you are the people. What will the project entail? What will that finished product be? Am I going to be receiving Salvador Dali or Van Gogh? Now, your how is the standards and the expectations you'll be setting for this endeavor. These two tools together, your how and your what, are a really great way to create clarity on what you are here for and how the project will be running. Whether it's my paint analogy or any other project, you need to know how you're going to handle this. Are you going to be scheduling time into your calendar to paint on a daily basis to finish it? Where will you be keeping all the supplies? Are there certain guidelines on how to store the paint? Is there an expiration date you need to worry about? Like, these are really good questions. Do I have back stock of the colors I need just in case? Because post 2020, manufacturers go out of business quite often. So, you know, what are things I want to avoid in that? And that's a really big question too. Avoidance, you know, what's something I will not tolerate in this project? If you're going to be selling this painting per se, what will I set my price at and where do my limits lie with clientele who are interested? This whole thing, you know, I use scope creep and this painting analogy to help highlight all the areas where your business can be affected in any project and how vital it is to create boundaries around your business so that you can recognize where you need to bring it in, like by negotiating and communicating with your client when things are getting rough. Or pack it out, advocate for your boundaries, and look for your possible alternatives, you know, end the project with your client. Sometimes the best way to get the bigger picture is to work backwards. If you do not take the time to specify what your boundaries are, then you're going to end up living under someone else's. And like I said, there's 8 billion people on this planet. Do you really want to trust your success based off of an unspoken expectation? This goes for everything, friend. Every time you sign on a new client, or even starting a new project with an existing client or with yourself, you should really be asking these questions before sending over that agreement to sign and start. 1, scope and expectations. Define what you will and won't do in a project to prevent that scope creep, what we were talking about. You don't want to be like that chicken running around with his head cut off. Communication limits. This is where you set your working hours, your office hours, response times, anything else like preferred platforms for work-related conversations. Some people I know don't feel comfortable using their phone to text clients, and that's totally okay. I personally don't have a problem with it, but I also have really strong boundaries, and I've created some boundaries around when and when I won't text people for my work. So again, it's like totally up to you. Another thing, the third thing, charge for your work. Do not let people devalue your skills. I am preaching to the choir here. I have the hardest time pricing my products, my services. It's so hard to like try and sell yourself in that way. So if you are someone who is a master at that, you're awesome. This is such a big one that I think ties a lot into our confidence and how we value ourselves. I really want to dive deeper into this, but for now, I just want to make sure that you clearly know the outline and how you will be paid with no exceptions. The fourth thing is creative control. I think this is another really big thing that we need to include in agreements. Oh my God. You know what I mean though. Before you sign a contract, include these things. And the fourth one is creative control. What level of ownership would you like to have in a creative direction instead of letting clients micromanage the process? One of the things I have in all of my agreements, clients are not able to control when and how I use my time, but you know, obviously within the scope of the deadlines on projects. For example, if a project is due in April, my client doesn't get to tell me how I'm going to be managing that. I mean, obviously it is my responsibility to update them because they hired me for these services, of course. So like I'm going to be using them, but having someone tell you you need to work Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. is not the reason why you went into this business in the first place. And that's kind of what I'm highlighting here in this moment. So once I use these four areas to create a contract for someone to sign before I start any kind of project, then when we're going through this project, this is where that contract comes into use, is that not only does it protect you at the beginning and the end of the thing, but during the thing, don't be afraid to open that file up, that agreement up, and reread what you both have essentially agreed on. I can't tell you how many times I thanked my past self for making sure I wrote out details on my client contract, mostly because when you're in the thick of it, the details really do get fuzzy as fuck. Again, that's okay and totally normal. After all, we are all human. We're not meant to remember every deadline or know someone's schedule like the back of your hand. But it is also your responsibility to accept these flaws and find tools that will support our weaknesses so that we can excel in our strengths. Some of you may be feeling overwhelmed at this point and thinking, I will never start a project again. Do not think of this process as an expense of your time though, but rather an investment. This also doesn't have to be a grueling exercise every time you take on a new DIY project or a client. Most of these things we do automatically without having to communicate to others happen because it's already been communicated by either ourselves or by others. When I was working at Safeway as a cake decorator, for example, this was like senior year of my high school, I didn't have to map out how to decorate every single cake from beginning to finish because there was already a schematic created for me. They just gave it to me or I would go through the binder. It would tell me a step-by-step process. The supplies are provided there already at my job. The only thing I really needed to spend time strategizing on boundaries, how I wanted to show up personally. Again, something we can talk about later. But do you see my point? These steps feel crazy because I'm like a one-man Safeway over here and I know I'm not the only one. Your boundaries are the building blocks to your business and writing them out, whether for yourself or for your clients, acts just like the cake schematics I had. So whenever I was feeling less than confident, I had a support system. I think the last thing I wanted to say while we're on the topic of boundaries is our discipline. We can brainstorm what we want, how we want it, the ways we will get there, all we want. But when push comes to shove, how and are we going to stick with it? Most of the time, it's an easy yes. If someone's not going to pay me for my services, it would be hard to stay with the client because of an obvious stressor on my life. But what if they still paid you? Even if the project's just trolled on without any progress. If they were the nicest people to be around, but they didn't respect your boundaries around work and home life. Do you have the discipline to stand by your boundaries and communicate what is and is not acceptable for you? We're here to protect our time, money, business relationships, so on, when it comes to setting these professional boundaries. When we onboard a new client or start that new project, let's make sure that we are supporting ourselves for the long haul so that we don't end up living for someone else's dreams. All right, enough for now. But in the meantime, if you want to stay connected, here's my little script. Please follow me on my socials like Instagram or YouTube, or more importantly, aside from any of those, subscribe to my newsletter on my site, which is linked in all of these descriptions, wherever you're listening, so that you can skip out on the algorithms and get real updates on my podcast episodes, article features, and more. Until next time.